Hello, everyone. Christmas greetings. Welcome to our Christmas special. In a moment, we'll have Stott Scottsworth, one of my favorite old-time radio actors. But right now, one of my favorite Christmas singers of all time. Late, great Bing Crosby.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Bonnie and Ben. Dolls that will talk and will go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well, the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. Beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas.
Well, it definitely is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. It's sounding a lot like Christmas, too. We'll be back in a moment with Casey Crime Photographer from the annals of old-time radio. Yes, even the crime shows went Christmas shopping. Don't go away.
There are angels in this world. Angels who help feed the hungry ones, save the lonely from despair, and help the lost find their way. They work quietly, and when they're done, they don't fly away. They walk. Thank you for giving to the Salvation Army. You're an angel.
Donate online at SalvationArmyUSA.org or call your local Salvation Army.
Well, it's time to feature an old-time radio classic about Christmas. This one concerns a series that ran on CBS Radio mostly, called Casey Crime Photographer. And it starred several people. Jim Backus at one time played Casey. This particular episode, we have Stott Scottsworth, a famous radio actor who later played the Fat Man. Here he is as Casey Crime Photographer, in an episode first broadcast December 19th, 1946, Casey, the crime photographer, goes Christmas shopping.
Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey, crime photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole. Our adventure for tonight, Christmas shopping. Late afternoon, a crowded aisle in one of our city's largest department stores. Making slow headway through the jostling shoppers are...
Casey, I've never seen the store so crowded. Yeah, we say that every year during the week before Christmas, Annie. Where are you taking me now, huh?
Well, you haven't anything for your Aunt Harriet yet,
oh,
so I thought
right.
We'd look at umbrellas. They're on this side of the store somewhere.
Yeah. Annie, look, you can pick up a much nicer umbrella for Aunt Harriet than I can. I trust your judgment, absolutely, Annie. So
I shop for all the uninteresting items while you go up to the toy department and watch the electric trains again.
Well, you know I've still got to pick up a few more things for my sister's kids, Annie.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Annie, wait a minute. Hang on to your pocketbook. Keep an eye on that little guy in the black overcoat just ahead of us.
Who?
That's Fingers Fogarty, one of the best-known dips in the city.
Pickpocket?
Yep. Show through this mob a little faster, Annie. Now, keep him in sight. I think he's closing in on a prospect. Fogarty's doing his stuff now, Annie.
No.
Yeah. That big fat guy he just bumped into. Fingers took a wallet from his inside pocket.
Well, I didn't see him.
Neither did the fat guy. Fingers is a smooth worker. Come on. He'll feel very badly when we stop his special brand of Christmas shopping, but pocket picking is considered antisocial. I've got to get Mr. Fogarty.
Well, he squeezed through the crowd. I can't see him anymore.
Neither can I.
Look, Casey, yell out for somebody to stop him.
Oh, well, I yell, stop thief.
Well, you can't let him get away.
He won't get away. Uh-uh. Every cop in this precinct knows Fingers. He'll be picked up quick after a charge is brought against him. I'll help that guy who lost his wallet bring the charge.
Yes, if you appear as a witness.
I will.
There's the Batman.
Excuse me, mister.
Huh?
Something happened to you a minute ago that I don't think you know about.
What do you mean?
Your pocket was picked.
My pocket?
Yeah. A little guy bumped into you, and as he did, I saw his hand go into your inside pocket and come out with a wallet. Well, I happen to know who he is, and when you report your loss to the cops, I'll be glad...
You're mistaken, mister. I didn't lose my wallet.
Huh? I'm sure I...
I'm more sure.
I tell you, I saw him.
When a guy sees something that couldn't be seen, he's either goofy or drunk. On your way, fella.
Well, I'll be...
Good thing you didn't get your hands on Fingers Fogarty.
What
he could have plastered you with a nice suit for false arrest.
And I know he took a wallet from that fat guy's pocket. I was watching every move that Fingers made.
Well, I was watching him, too, and I didn't see him take anything. And that fat man says he didn't lose a wallet, so...
Okay, I'm goofy or drunk.
Well, maybe you only need glasses.
Well, I do after this. Several glasses. Let's head for the Blue Note.
You and Casey get your Christmas shopping done this afternoon, Miss Wills?
Well, I accomplished quite a lot, Ethelbert, but not Casey. He got sore, and after that, nothing would please him.
What'd you get sore about, pal?
Nothing.
Oh, he had a little eye trouble.
Oh, gee, that's too bad. Did you see spots floating in front of you, Casey?
My eyes are okay. Now, fill that glass up again, Ethelbert, and don't ask so many
right.
silly questions.
Mine too, Ethelbert.
Right away, Miss Wills.
Oh, now, Casey, don't you think it's about time you snapped out of your grouch?
Well...
It's pretty silly to get yourself all burned up just because you made a mistake.
I didn't make a mistake, Annie. Fingers Fogarty took a wallet from that fat guy's pocket. What burns me up is I didn't find out why the fat guy denied it.
Well, how could you have found out?
Oh, I don't know. But I'm supposed to be a newspaper guy, Annie. Well, we may have missed the story with pictures.
Here's your refreshment, folks.
Oh, thanks, Ethelbert.
Say, have you stopped into your office since you finished shopping?
Hey, bartender. Who's the boss here?
Well, what do you want?
You want to buy a nice Christmas tree?
You got some nice ones?
A wagon full of them, fresh from Nova Scotia.
Let's see one.
Well, I'll be right back.
Say, Casey, have you two stopped in at your office since you finished your shopping?
Certainly not. This is our day off.
Then you ain't heard the big news yet.
What big news?
One of your police reporters, Jake Birkin, was in a few minutes ago and tipped me off about it. Gee, was all excited.
What happened, Ethelbert?
About half an hour ago, the cops arrested the kidnapper and murderer of Gregory Walters.
They did?
Where?
Well, where'd they get him?
Well, like you know, before the Walters family paid over that $50,000 ransom to the kidnapper, the FBI made a list of the serial numbers on the bills, which they circulated all over the country.
Of course, we know all that, Ethelbert.
How's this tray, mister? Nice and bushy, huh?
Let's see one a little taller.
A little taller, okay.
Ethelbert, will you tell us about that kidnapper?
Well, I'm getting to it.
Well, come on.
Well, a guy walks into a tavern over on 36th Street tonight, orders a drink, and hands a barkeep a 20-buck bill with one of them hot numbers on it. The barkeep checks the number, calls a cop, and when the cop searched the guy... He found about 500 bucks more of the ransom dough in his pocket.
Well, Ethel, but who is the guy who had the ransom dough? The cops identified him yet?
Well, they knew him as soon as they laid eyes on him.
But, yeah. Ethelbert, who is he? Well, please.
Hey. Is this trade big enough, mister?
Let's see. Well, let's see one a little thicker around the bottom.
Thicker around the bottom.
Ethelbert, yeah. Will you please
Casey
tell
and
us?
I know him. He's always been a small-time crook, and I was surprised to learn he was mixed up with anything so big as kidnapping and murder.
Oh, say, will you tell us?
I am telling you. It's that little runt, Fingers Fogarty.
Fingers Fogarty?
Yeah, the dip.
He had Walter's ransom dough on him?
About 500 bucks, just like I said. Naturally, Fingers denies having anything to do with the kidnapping. He said he lifted the dough out of the pocket of a guy who was Christmas shopping in S.J. Franken's department store.
Franken's.
Around 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Casey Franken.
And that fat guy denied he'd been robbed.
Do you think he was the one?
I can't see Fingers as a kidnapper. He's always been just a slimy little sink thief.
Hey, what's this about a fat guy, Casey?
Annie, come on. We're going to tell Logan what happened in Franken's.
Well, what did happen,
Well,
Casey?
Never mind. You'll hear it later, Ethelbert. So long.
So long!
Hey. Is this one big enough for you, mister?
I tell them to a whole complete news story in 2 short words, then they run off and leave me out on a limb.
What limb? Too big?
Hmm? Oh, you.
Ah.
Oh, no. We've got to have a really big tree.
You think Fingers Fogarty may be just the victim of circumstances, Casey?
Have you got anything on Fogarty outside of the $500 found in his pocket?
Not yet, Miss Williams. The joint he lives in is being searched, but we don't think he was chump enough to hide the rest of his ransom money there.
Well, if he lifted the 5 C's and that fat guy, he has no rest of the dough to hide.
Now, look, Casey. Now, hasn't it occurred to you that he may have put out an act for your benefit?
Hmm? I don't get you.
Let's assume that Fingers is the real kidnapper. It's been over a year since the ransom money was paid. Fingers has been careful. He hasn't tried to pass any of the 50 grand because he knows it's red hot. But now he figures the heat has died down, so he sends up a trial balloon.
How do you mean trial balloon?
Well, he's got a record as a dip, Miss Williams. He figures if he gets caught passing that dough, we'll believe that he lifted the money from a guy's pocket. And to cinch it, he acts like he's lifting it from a guy's pocket while Casey is watching him. He picked you for his star witness, pal.
Logan.
Huh?
Hasn't it occurred to you that the fat guy might have been sending up that trial balloon?
Huh? What do you mean?
Assume the fat guy is the real kidnapper. He knows that Fingers is a pickpocket. Well, he goes to one of the little runt's hangouts and flashes a roll in front of him. And then he leaves the joint. Saunters into a crowded store where it'll be easy for Fingers to work, and Fingers does exactly what's expected of him.
That's a reasonable theory, Captain.
Sure. If Fingers gets caught passing that dough, the kidnapper learns about it from the papers and continues to let the money cool off. Also, Fingers has a long record. You cops won't believe anything he tells you. You'll tag him as the Walters kidnapper, which will leave the real one sitting pretty.
Maybe you've got something there, Casey. You and Miss Williams have never seen that fat guy before.
Mm-hmm. No, but we'll know him if we see him again, though.
Definitely.
Your description might fit 1,000 guys in this town. I want you two to go up to the record room and look at some pictures we've got in the file.
Great. That'll only take us about 4 or 5 hours,
though. Oh, Casey.
I don't recognize any picture here, Logan.
Oh, me either. Oh, golly. Captain, why don't you have some good-looking crooks in your files? I'm going to have nightmares looking at pictures of so many ugly men.
Oh, you should see the women.
Logan, you know, there's one picture here that bothers me. It resembles the guy a lot, but look at the description that goes with it.
Nick Pencer, Woolstock Prison, discharged 1944, armed robbery. Age 30, height 5 feet. Well, you said your fat guy was a 6-footer and at least 45 years old.
Yeah, he weighed a good 250 plus, too. This Nick Pencer's weight is given as only 135.
Well, they can't be the same man, then.
No, not a chance.
Oh, no, no, thank you. No, thanks. Oh, no. Oh, oh. Hello.
Morning, Annie.
Who's this?
Wake up, kid. It's Casey.
Casey? Oh, oh, Casey.
Yeah, Casey, yeah, you remember me, don't you?
Yes, I do, and it's only 9 o'clock, and what is the big idea?
Annie, look, I think I know where to look for that fat guy.
You do?
I certainly do. The old beam wasn't working last night. But when I woke up a few minutes ago, I had it. The strong resemblance between that young half-pint crook, Nick Pensa, and our big, fat 45-year-old guy can't be just coincidental, Annie. They must be relatives, maybe brothers.
Mm-hmm, go
well,
on.
Well, I've looked in the phone book and found only one Pensa listed, John Pensa, contractor, who lives and does business out on Dudley Road. I thought you might like to drive out there with me and see what John Pensa looks like.
Why don't you have the cops go out and look at him?
Annie, you're not awake yet. Besides, if you and I find him, Annie, we get an exclusive. The cops are in on it. Every paper in town will have.
Well, I'm awake now, all right. Where'll I meet you?
I'll be outside your door with a car in 15 minutes.
Casey, I've got to dress.
We'll make it a half an hour, then.
We're getting close to that address, Annie.
Yeah. This isn't a very attractive neighborhood.
No. John Pensa, contractor, can't be much of a concern.
And John Pensa, contractor, may be no relation whatever to the Nick Pensa in the police file.
The name's very unusual, Ann. I have a hunch.
Uh-oh. There's the place.
Yep. I'll stop here so we can look the joint over.
Well, there's a concrete garage attached to the house with a good-sized truck inside and room for another.
Hmm. Concrete mixer in the workyard.
Oh, Casey, established businessmen don't go in for kidnapping. I think we're on a wild goose chase.
Annie, that guy coming out of the garage.
What about him? He's just a skinny little...
Annie, you need glasses and a more photographic memory.
He's the man of that police picture.
Of course, Nick Pensa. Now I know my hunch was right.
He's looking over here.
Well, he's never seen this before, but I'll get rolling anyway.
Now, how can we find out if he has a fat brother?
Well, drop into one of these neighborhood stores and make a few inquiries.
Then what?
Well, how can I tell until I find out what I hope to find out? Annie, you're the darndest girl for asking questions. You really are. Well, we'll stop here. We'll go into this little drugstore right here. The druggist usually knows everybody in the neighborhood. Come on.
Okay, but I think it would be simpler and more sensible to make inquiries at the precinct police station.
I don't want the cops in on this until we know where we stand.
What can I do for you young people?
Ah, hello, Pop. We're going to have, what kind of ice cream soda do you want, Annie?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Same for me.
Two chocolate sodas.
That's right. Huh? Oh, by the way, I'm looking for a party in this neighborhood by the name of Pensa. I imagine you know the family well.
Pensa?
Yeah.
Never heard the name before.
You never heard of it?
Change my order to raspberry.
Yes, miss. One raspberry. I'm just a stranger here. Come down from upstate to handle this place while my son's away hunting. Maybe my granddaughter can tell you what you want to know. Say, Katie.
Yes, Grandpa?
Come here. Fella's looking for a party by the name of Penner.
Penner?
No, not Penner. Pensa.
Oh, I know the Pensas. All of them.
You do? That's swell.
Yeah. Mr. Pencil is down the street.
Uh-huh.
Over his office. He's a contractor.
What's he look like? Is he,
Is Mr. Pensa short and skinny and his first name is Nick?
Yeah, well, Nick Pensa's not the contractor.
Yes, he is. Ever since he got out of prison a couple of years ago.
Sister, I understand that my friend, Nick, has a brother or a cousin.
No.
Maybe an uncle?
No.
Here's your sodas. Who gets your raspberry?
He does.
Here you are, mister.
Thanks.
And Mr. Casey, you have earned it.
Sister, you mean Mr. Nick Pensa has no relatives at all?
He's got a sister and a nephew.
Oh, that's a great help.
How old's the nephew? About 10?
No, ma'am. It's the funniest thing. Mr. Gus Pence is a lot older than his uncle.
Huh?
Mr. Gus is Mr. Nick's partner, I think. And he comes in here all the time.
What does Mr. Gus Pence look like?
Well, he's tall and fat, and in the face he looks like Mr. Nick.
Annie, give me that chocolate. You take the raspberry.
Here's Mr. Gus now.
Oh, Casey.
He's our fat guy.
Mr. Gus, these people were just asking about you. Friends of Mr. Nick.
Oh, that's bad.
Is that so?
He recognizes us, Casey.
Yeah.
Wasn't it lucky I dropped in here when I did to find friends of Nick's? Grandpa, go back to your back room and put me up 2 bits worth of turpentine.
2 bits worth of turpentine?
Go along and help him, sissy. He can never find anything.
I'll show him, Mr. Gus.
It's a You two were asking about me.
You've been told that we were.
I noticed a car outside with a press sign on it. Yours?
Yeah.
This hand in my pocket has a gun in it, mister. So do exactly as I tell you.
Okay.
Remember, and don't pull anything.
Here's a bottle of Terps.
Thanks, Grandpa. Here's your 2 bits. Come on with me, folks. You said you wanted to pay Nick a visit.
Casey.
We got no choice, honey.
Right. Get into your car. Both in the front seat. You drive, fella. I'll sit in the back with this gat.
Well, I drive, too.
Just down the street to Nick's place. Mine. He and I are partners in everything. And he'll be tickled to see your old friend. That's fine.
Now what do we do?
You and your boyfriend don't do anything, lady. And to make sure you don't...
You hit Casey with your gun!
And you get the shape! Nick!
Yeah? What do you want, Cuss?
Come into the garage, quick.
Okay. Whose car you got in there?
You'll see. Come inside and help me close these doors.
What's the idea?
Take a look inside this car.
Who's the guy and the dame?
They're the two I told you about last night. Saw that dip take the hot dough from my pocket. They got wise to the layout and located us.
Hey, police?
No. These two are newspaper mugs. I figured they were making this play on their own, so we got to take care of them.
We can't bump them off here.
We can. We do it nice, clean, and quiet.
Yeah. Got the gal all tied up, Gus.
And help me with this guy.
Yeah. He's fixed now and solid.
All right. I climb into that truck and start the motor, Nick.
Oh, the carbon monoxide treatment, huh?
We just lock him in this closed garage to breathe the gas. Start the motor.
Ann, I worked the tape off my mouth against that fender. Nod your head if you're okay, kid. Good. I'm going to try to pull the adhesive tape off your wrists with my teeth.
I got the tape. Now pull and turn your wrists.
There, that did it. Your hands are free. Pull the tape off your mouth now.
Can you see the gas?
Keep your head down low, kid. Try to hold on.
I will.
Pull this tape off my hands.
You better let me free my ankle first so I can get to that truck and shut off the motor.
No. Free my hands. Those two guys may be just outside where they can hear.
Yeah, but if it keeps on running, we'll...
If it doesn't keep on running, we'll have no second chance like this. Free my hands.
All right. I've got the end loose.
Pull now. There, does it. Now, unwind your ankles while I get this stuff off of mine.
What good will it do us? We can't get out of here.
We'll get out. Don't breathe, did he?
This garage is solid concrete. And I heard them lock those heavy doors when they went out. So
I got my ankles free. Now, hang on, kid. I'm picking you up.
What are you going to do?
I'm putting you in this truck.
This truck? Why?
It's taking us out of here. Keep your head down.
Okay.
I'm driving through those doors.
Casey, we're through. Pure air.
Wait a minute, look. Also, those two Panzer guys, they heard us.
Yes, and they have guns, too. Step on my gas, Casey. Drive past them. Let's get away.
I can't.
You can? What's the matter?
I stalled the motor. Duck, they're shooting.
Why are they running away? They're getting into that car.
They're going to try to get away. If I can only get this motor started again. That did it. Now, come on.
Casey, don't drive toward their car. They'll
start driving into their car. This 10-ton truck does a nice job when it hits a tin can like
that. Oh, Casey.
Come on, let's call City Desk. Get the cops out here so we can get to the Blue Note. I need another pair of glasses, the kind you fill.
You
didn't kill them two kidnappers when you threw that truck at them, Casey?
No, Bethelbert, no. The cops pulled them out of the wreckage in fairly good shape, considering.
They'll be able to walk to the chair.
How about the ransom money? Did the cops find it?
Yeah. Gus, the fat guy, confessed the Walters kidnapping and told where he and Nick had hidden the dough.
Gee, and all because you and Miss Williams did some Christmas shopping. Say, what happened to the little dip, Fingers Fogarty?
Well, in trying to clear himself of the kidnap and murder charge, Ethelbert, Fingers made so many admissions about his own specialty that the cops can keep him in jail until 1999.
Gee, 1999, huh?
Good heavens, Casey, what's that coming in the door?
Huh? What on earth?
What do you say, mister? That's the biggest tree I got on the wagon, okay?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, now that's what I call a real Christmas tree.
Ethelbert, what are you going to do with such a big tree?
Well, you couldn't get a little tree in that big room.
Well, this is Jerry Pippin. If you weren't around during the old days of radio when drama was king, Christmas season was something very special. In fact, we had an email from a lady in England, so I guess this feeling was worldwide. She said our Christmas section reminded her of her girlhood when she used to listen to the radio in England on the BBC in the late 50s with great Christmas songs and Christmas stories. Don't go away. We'll be back with our final Christmas thoughts for this program.
There are angels in this world, angels who help feed the hungry ones, save the lonely from despair, and help the lost find their way. They work quietly, and when they're done, they don't fly away. They walk. Thank you for giving to the Salvation Army. You're an angel.
Donate online at SalvationArmyUSA.org or call your local Salvation Army.
Happy Holidays!
A special wish from a group of special people. The personnel of the Jerry Pippin Show. Everyone on the staff would like to say, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Christmas is a time of sad happiness. We can purify ourselves by condemning the people that commercialize it. But if the stores were closed, wouldn't it take away a lot of the fun? Bar rooms are lined with the lonely, clinging to each other. Bartenders are parent images. Displaced Yankees dream of gently falling snow that never turns to slush. And wandering Romeos often return, temporarily at least, to the family fold. Telephone wires hum with long-distance calls between people who care about each other in December, which is a whole lot better than not caring at all. Aftershave lotion is unwrapped with oohs and ahs. Toys are getting ready to be broken. And puppies inhabit stockings. Christmas trees are always the most beautiful ever if you just turn the bare side to the wall. And eggs flow like nog. Roaring hearths and good fellowship are for the extremely lucky. But some will settle for a bag of groceries. For certain people, this will be the first Christmas. For others, the last. Merry Christmas will be said in shacks, castles, prisons, airplanes, battlefronts, and churches. No matter what we say is wrong with it, Christmas is a time when many people are a little bit nicer. And that's something. This is Jack Blanchard.
And I'm Misty Morgan.
Wishing you a beautiful holiday season.
Christmas time comes once a year. Christmas times, the time that all should bring good cheer. What's a year? Christmas bells, they keep ringing. Little children are singing, waiting for dear old Santa to bring all the toys. Girls and boys,
Christmas time. Once a year, Christmas time, the time that I should bring good cheer. Once a year, Christmas hearts to send away.
Of our Christmas special, and of course, Christmas is special. Thanks for listening. Until next time, Merry Christmas.